from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And a fly ball left field. Back is Reynolds toward the track, approaching the wall, and it's gone. An opposite field 3-run homer for Jock Peterson to give the Diamondbacks the lead. 5-4 in the seventh inning.
I mean, Beach had thrown 2 days in a row. I mean, we ended up having to go to him. I mean, he had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball away. Holy's got to be better. I mean, he's got to make a pitch. He's pitched in that spot for us all year, and it didn't work.
Pop up. Shallow right. Coming in is Carroll, and he will make the catch. And the D-backs take the series. Final score, Arizona 6, Pittsburgh 5.
Consider moving him to lower leverage?
No, I don't know. We're going to have to figure out. I mean, I'm a little pissed about how this game went to begin with, so try to figure that out during the off day.
To quote John Wehner, good morning, everybody. If we're looking on the bright side, Pirates did gain a half game in the NL Central over the weekend. Now just 6 games back in Milwaukee. So we should be celebrating, right? That one hurt. And I feel like once a week, we come on here, and we get behind these microphones. Once a week, I'm serious about this, and we say that was the worst loss of the season. It happens all the time, where you feel like they got one, and then they don't. And you couple that with the first game of the series, where they battled their asses off, and then still lost. You lose 2 games to Arizona, a team that you are fighting tooth and nail with for wild card supremacy. 2 games, you could have swept them. At minimum, you could have won 2 out of 3. And here we sit today. The Buccos win just 1 of the 3 and are 3.5 games back. And it doesn't get any easier because you got San Diego coming to town next and they're throwing 3 good starting pitchers at you. I feel like this loss was on 2 people. It's on Colin Holderman. Because, frankly, when you are called upon, you have got to perform.
Yep.
But it's also on Derek Shelton. I do not think that he managed a good game at all yesterday. Doran, your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on the series.
Well, they just can't get out of their own way. I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's really what comes to mind. You can't get out of your own way. And you want to, I don't know if it's too loyal, but it feels like it's too loyal. Like, in a situation with Holderman, you know that he's been just getting raked. Like, he has been. And I wanted to throw it back at you real quick to say, and for you to answer why you think Shelton, and what stuck out to you the most that you think that Shelton was a part of this blame.
So I'm
because
sitting,
I have one thing in my mind, but I want to know yours first.
Okay, well, I got a few. I mean, I'm sure we both
number
got
one,
a few.
Your number one thing.
The number one thing, I was driving in my car to a family birthday party. Happy 10th birthday to Emma.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it was my second cousin. Happy birthday to her. So I'm driving down Route 51. I was listening to the game on the radio, and Holderman's struggling, right? First and second, no outs, and you're just thinking, oh my God, Holderman is just, he's totally falling apart. And then I went back and I watched, and the umpire didn't do him any favors, but my God, still, you are brought in a situation. You got to get 3 outs. It's a clean inning, and you can't do that. And so, what do I hear? I hear that Jalen Beeks is warming up in the bullpen. Well, now you get to two outs. And you've got Jock Peterson coming up. Jock Peterson is 4-for-20 on the season against left-handed pitching. Colin Holderman has been ass. 3 1/3 innings his last four times out. He's given up 7 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 homers in 3 1/3 innings. His last 15 appearances, so this goes back a while now, 14 1/3 innings, 12 earned runs, 9 walks, and 5 home runs. So Colin Holderman has not been good, but he got you 2 outs, dang it. And you've got Jalen Beeks warming up in the bullpen, who you specifically targeted at the deadline to be able to get lefties out for you. You got Jock Peterson, and then after Peterson, you've got Josh Bell. Josh Bell is a much better left-handed hitter than he is a right-handed hitter. If you put Jordan Beeks on the mound, guess what happens? You have a lefty going up against a lefty in Jock Peterson, or they pinch hit. And then if you don't get him, you've got a lefty, and you've turned around Josh Bell. It was the most obvious move in the world. That's urgency. Manage like the game mattered as much as the game mattered. He did not. And I think it was just a dereliction of duty from Derek Shelton not to use your left-handed specialist that you purposefully brought in here just for such situation, and you leave in the guy that has sucked for the better part of a month plus. That we can start right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And another angle to it too is the whole bunt situation with Connor Falefa. I mean, you have a guy who was in his, what, first game?
Second game.
And he had a double. He had a triple. And then you bunt him in that situation. And then your explanation was to potentially tie the game so you can get to Bednar.
Yeah, let's actually hear that from Derek Shelton, and then we'll react.
Play for the tie and then get Bednar in the game and see where we could go there. You know, I mean, he's a tough at bat. So I think that was, and he's usually, you know, he's done a pretty good job bunting throughout his career. And it was a tough pitch.
Yeah. We talk about getting aggressive and trying to win games. I mean, you're trying to tie whenever you need to win games like that right there. Like I was just beside myself. I mean, maybe he can bunt or not, but like, that's not the situation. You have a guy that was hitting the ball, the guy that has grabbed momentum and I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And then hearing the explanation, I was even more upset.
Yeah, it makes me really mad, dude, because one of the things we talked about with IKF is, and I realize he struck out a couple of times in his brief Pirates tenure, he's not a guy that strikes out a lot. The one thing you know about him is he handles the bat really well. It's not to say he's a world beater or anything like that, but earlier in the game when he hit the triple, he was just trying to hit the ball the other way because he understands the game. He's going to do the little things well. Now, he didn't do the little thing well there. When the bunt is put on, you still need to execute it. Right. So part of it falls on the player, and IKF did a terrible job. He bunted to the wrong side,
right,
and he popped the damn thing up, and he stabbed at it. You got to do a better job when called upon. But you're right. The decision to play for the tie is maddening when you've got a guy that is going to probably put the ball in play, and he's probably going to hit the ball the other way. So he might, even if he gets out, organically move the runners over. But at least then you've got the chance of the ball finding grass like it did 2 times already in this game. Now, I've seen and I've heard reasonable baseball people say they could see it both ways. They understand the bunt. I've also seen that people have said, well, if he did get the bunt down, then Brian Reynolds, his single would have tied the game. Okay. Here's where I'll disagree on that. I think they probably pitch around Brian Reynolds a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
If IKF got the bunt down and you now had runners at second and third with one out, you've got the base open and you've got two lefties coming up against a lefty. And I think Cruz probably still strikes out. And then it all comes down to Brian De La Cruz. And as we know, he flied out. I don't know that you pitch to Brian Reynolds in that situation. So if there's one guy in the lineup in our brief time watching him and just everything we know about him, everything we've read about him, that I think is actually going to do the right thing and put the ball in play and put it to the correct side of the field, I do think it's IKF. And I can't believe he called the bunt. And then the whole explanation of,
oh my goodness,
we're playing for the tie.
The tie.
You've got 3 outs left. three, and you're going to give one away. Even if it works, you're giving an out away.
With a guy that can hit.
With a guy that can hit, who was hitting 292 when you acquired him, and who had a double and a triple in the game. Another thing I didn't like. There's a long list here. We hit on two of them. I realize that because of the rain delay, your bullpen gets gobbled up a little bit in the prior game. I get that. But you got Woodford Reserve coming in the ninth inning when you're just trying to keep it on the status quo. You're trying to keep it to a one-run deficit, and Woodward goes in there, and he's facing one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball in Ketel Marte. Well, what did we expect to happen?
Yeah.
I know Woodford was good when they spot-started him, but you feel like they got away with one.
Yes.
And so if I never saw that guy again, I think we'd all be happier for it. You have him in there trying to hold the thing down in the ninth inning? You're just asking for that lead to get extended. You are just asking for the Diamondbacks to get an insurance run there. So I think that for all the praise we heaped on Derek Shelton last week for navigating his way through a couple of tough spots, I thought he in particular really screwed the pooch in this game. I feel like this one is a loss mainly on his ledger. It's not all on him. Cruz had a great at-bat and still swings through a fastball. And Brian De La Cruz, first and third. You need to execute.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were going to get the moment from Cruz because he seemed to just be on that fastball, just be on that fastball. And they tempted fate, and he swings right through it. You also need execution from your guys, and they did not get that. But I'll put this one mainly on Derek Shelton.
Do you think that that had a lot to do with Derek Shelton being so upset at the end of the game? Like, I know he wanted to place blame and did a little bit on Holderman and place blame on the whole the situation after the pitch and, you know, the umpire. What was it?
That was silly. That was a weird situation.
But I think that he was a little bit upset with himself because it didn't pan out the way that he anticipated it to in the moves that he made, because they were almost obvious moves, especially with Holderman.
I think he was real mad because of everything you said. Like the umpire stuff, like Tim Benz from the Trib really pushed him on that, because Shelton, at one point we played the clip for you, said he was pissed and then started talking about other things. And Benzy, big time journalist that he is, like the Chihuahua. Well, what else had you pissed, Shelty? Was it the umpire? I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, but I think it's also Holderman was a strike away and he leaves it on the plate and it's the home run. IKF, when asked upon to bunt, I think Shelton really thought he could get the bunt down. I feel like he was mad because Paul Skeens wasn't as good as Paul Skeens usually is too.
That too.
So when you wrap it all together, you've got this 4-0 lead with Skeens on the mound, and then when Skeens gets pulled, you have Holderman, who does get the two outs and two strikes, and he doesn't do it, and then IKF, and then you're first and third with one out, and nobody came through for the manager either. And so I think he probably today we'll look in the mirror and go, I could have done this or this or this, but I think he was mad at his guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do want to kind of get into that a little bit next. Did Derek Shelton throw some of his dudes under the bus in the press conference yesterday? We'll let you hear some of it. We'll react. We want your reaction as well at 412-928-9370. That's the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can call us, same number, on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh Trusted Plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And you can always tweet us at _ Adam Crowley, at Scorin Doran, at Callis_33. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. More from Derek Shelton in our reaction next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I mean, Beats had thrown 2 days in a row. I mean, we ended up having to go to him. I mean, he had a 100-mile-an-hour fastball away. Holdy's got to be better. I mean, he's got to make a pitch. He's pitched in that spot for us all year, and it didn't work.
So Shelty puts it on his guy there. You got to make a pitch. Who do you blame? Biggest reason for yesterday's loss, Derek Shelton or execution? That's the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. I did not like the explanation there.
No.
You know, it's not just about kind of throwing your guy under the bus. He does need to make a pitch if you're going to leave him in. Okay, fine. But, well, Beeks had pitched the previous two games. Well, don't say that. You pitched him in the next inning.
Right.
He pitched two-thirds of an inning in this game. Like, you used him. You had him warming up. Why would you not use him against a left-handed hitter who's 4-for-20 against lefties on the year in Jock Peterson? Because here's the other thing. Holderman giving up a big hit to a lefty? Ain't exactly new. Lefties are hitting .295 against Colin Holderman with an OPS of .865. Lefties have an OPS under .600 against Jalen Beeks. So it was the most obvious managerial decision in the world, and yet he did the opposite thing. And while I do always think it's a little column A and a little column B, always. Like a guy drops a punt and it's Mike Tomlin's fault. No, it's always little column A, little column B. But if I have to pick one, and by the rules of the Twitter poll we have to, I'm saying that Derek Shelton cost the team a victory yesterday.
Do you think that games get away from him sometimes? It kind of seems like that. Like, you'll see, like, I mean, in the last, you know, what, 2 weeks, he has had some games where he showed his butt off, where he's managed really good games.
Yes.
But then there's games like this where it feels like, I feel like he's just not in tune with the momentum and the movement of the game, that it almost gets lost.
Yes.
And then he doesn't want to act off of feel. He almost acts off of, okay, like, what's the sheet say? And then by the time he looks at the sheet and the analytics of, like, you know, Jalen Beeks and Colin Holderman and lefties, then it's too late. And he's like, okay, like, let's just get this guy in.
You need to be thinking going into that inning, what happens if he gets into trouble and those two lefties are coming up?
Yeah.
Or the lefty and the switch hitter and Josh Bell. And Josh Bell's been hot as all get out. You should be thinking batters ahead. All right, we're going to give it to Holderman because the bullpen got taxed yesterday and Holderman didn't pitch. Chapman did. Bednar did. Kyle Nicholas did. So we're going to have to use Holderman. Okay, fine. He's in the bullpen. He hasn't been good, but you're going to use him. If he gets into trouble, what's my plan B? Well, let's get him warming up. It's Jalen Beeks. If you're not going to use him against a lefty in that spot, and why the hell did you even acquire him at the trade deadline in the first place? Here's a texter at 412-928-9370. And this is an old baseball adage. You play for the tie at home because you get the last at bat. It's standard baseball. Yeah, but then you're just painting yourself into that box. Like, oh, here's the conventional wisdom, so we have to abide by it. I just said it. The bullpen was taxed the day before. And so Bednar was available, and what Shelty said was you play for the tie, get Bednar out there, and then you try to win it in the ninth. Okay, but what if you don't win it in the ninth? You've now played for the tie. You get what you want. If all things go according to plan, you use up Bednar. Then what the hell do you do?
Right.
Then who's pitching after that?
I get baseball wisdom, and I get the logistics of what you should do in a situation like that, but is this the appropriate time to do that whenever you need to win games? Like, okay, yeah, that's one thing whenever you're out of it. That's one thing whenever you're in it. Yeah, you play to those rules and play to those logistics, but they need to win games. Like, you have to get aggressive. You can't just think inside the box. You have to think outside the box in these situations.
Yes.
Like, you can't just go by that.
You've got a guy. So it's first and second, no outs. And your next four hitters are a guy who has a double and a triple in the game who's hitting 290. Then your best hitter in Brian Reynolds. Then your most prodigious power guy in O'Neal De La Cruz. And then the guy that you acquired because he mashes taters. You've got four guys, your best four hitters, going in succession, no outs, first and second. You should not be playing for the tie. That is your best chance to win the baseball game. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what conventional wisdom is. Just like you said, Doran. First and second, no outs. Your best four hitters coming up in succession, and you're giving away an out?
Insane to me.
It's stupid. It's absurd. Now, you were asked to do it, IKF. Get the bunt down. And also, it was kind of dumb on his part because they ran the wheel play, so he should have pulled back anyhow and tried to hit the ball. But it's more on the decision to take the bat out of his hands. As your leadoff hitter,
yes.
I'm going to have my leadoff hitter bunt? When you got Brian Reynolds and O'Neal Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz, dang it. Brian De La Cruz coming up, that's two mistakes for me.
Actually, it's three because you said O'Neal De La Cruz.
I said O'Neal De La Cruz. Yeah. I meant to do that. The third and fourth guys in the order, that's O'Neal De La Cruz.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a conjunction, Doran. Mm. Like can't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Someone texted this in. I want to get to it before we're too removed from the Olympic talk. Here's a poem, Doran. Roses are red. Earth is near Venus. Pole vaulter's Olympic dream shattered by his own penis. Listen to this and tell me if you feel like this was okay from Derek Shelton. Asked about Paul Skeens.
Yeah, he was erratic. He was kind of all over the place. I mean, it's for the first time we've really seen him scatter the ball a little bit.
I think the assessment was correct, but all over the place is a little strong for me.
Uh-huh.
For a guy who threw 5 1/3 innings, gave up one run while he was on the mound, and then an inherited runner scores.
Right.
Like, you got a 4-0 lead, and he wasn't perfect. He wasn't as good as we've seen him. That might be that was the worst that we've seen him, but he still gutted through that.
Mm-hmm.
And only gives up 2 runs in 5 1/3, you should still win that baseball game. I kind of feel like he threw his dudes under the bus in yesterday's press conference, and I do not like that when he's correct in some of his assessments, but also you need to look in the mirror and understand your own problems for the reason that they lost the game. There are times to push guys. There are times to call guys out. But when you fumble the bag the way that he did, I don't think that's the right time. And he'll let emotion, I think, get the better of him.
Has he really ever done that before, though?
I don't think so.
That's one of the first times. Like, that's one of the first times I saw him so animated as well.
Mm-hmm. You know who used to do that all the time? Kevin Stallings.
Mm-hmm.
It would always be on his guys.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Dixon would do that, but I thought he was thoughtful about it. Like, when he knew he needed to call guys out publicly to get the best from them. I've never seen that from Shelton before. Do you spin it positively and say he knows the team and maybe he feels like he needs to do that? I don't know. I can't think that Skeens would be one of those guys that you need to call out like that. I just didn't like it. Scattered the ball. He was all over the place. He wasn't great. It's fair to acknowledge that. He was not at his best. But he goes 5 1/3 with 4 strikeouts, 100 pitches, only gives up 2 runs. All over the place, I think, is a little strong.
It's a little much.
A little much. And I do think part of the reason why he winds up giving up runs is because he was he understood he had a 4-run lead. And so you're going to pitch differently. He'll be great his next time out. I have no doubt about that. But it's not going to be because Derek Shelton called his ass out. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette's going to join us in about a half an hour. Our training camp coverage is presented by Smale Kia, and brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. Coming up next, a couple of managerial decisions that I'd like Derek Shelton to make. He's got a day now to think about things. And when we come out of this off day, there's two things I'd like to see him do. We'll talk about it. This injury report brought to you by Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Andy Rodriguez was fielding some ground balls at first base, gentlemen.
I saw that.
Prior to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they said it's just so that he could get work, just so that he could be on the diamond. And they expect that he'll be able to DH in some games in the Pirates organization. And I saw a ton of people, including our very own Austin Bechtold, City Limits, say, well, why not have him come in and DH for the Pirates down the stretch? Look, it's a good sign that Andy Rodriguez is fielding ground balls and that they're going to get him into game action. The guy wasn't good at the major league level last year. He's missed the entire season. You've got Andrew McCutchen at DH. You're going to need to be creative with Kiner Falefa when Nick Gonzalez comes back. You're not going to put him in the middle of a stretch run and have him take major league at-bats.
No.
That's just not going to happen.
No. That doesn't make any sense.
It does not.
Let him take his time. Like, he's not like some big-time hitter.
Right. If he came up last year and hit the cover off the baseball and you thought he could hit this year, and you send him to AA and AAA, and he hits there, and you feel like you're going to call him up, and it's going to make some sense, okay, that's not where we are with Andy Rodriguez at this state of his development. Also, how about you get Henry Davis a first baseman's glove? How about you do that? Henry Davis, maybe he can factor in your first base plans, because he's not my catcher. Andy Rodriguez, I think, is the Pirates' catcher. Now, here's a move I'd like to see the Pirates make. As long as Holderman is in the bullpen, you're going to have to go to him at some point, whether it's the fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning, or eighth inning. You're going to need to use him if he's in there. You can't just have 8-9 guys and not use one of them. So this is the injury report segment. You got to put him on IL. You got to fake something. Arm fatigue.
Yeah.
Something. Sit his ass down. Give him a breather. Because right now when he plays, he's a detriment to the team winning, and you can't convince anybody otherwise. The only person who doesn't seem to get it is Derek Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
You need the phantom IL trip, I think, right now for Colin Holderman.
Man, he was so good at the beginning of the year, too.
So good.
Like, I get it. I get that players go through ruts, and pitchers especially go through ruts, but, like, I mean, he's been bad. Like, I mean, he's given up, what, how many home runs in the last?
4 in his last 3 1/3 and 5 in his last 14 and a third.
Right.
He's given up 12 in his last 14 and a third innings, including 9 walks. And I realize the pitch that got hit out by Jock Peterson was outside corner and 100 miles an hour, but he's been catching way too much of the plate. He either can't find the plate,
mm-hmm.
or when he is in the strike zone, he's serving up fatties.
Mm-hmm.
Big old pee-pee high fun balls. So, phantom IL trip, I think, should be on the way for Colin Holderman. Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. So I said there are two moves I'd like to see from Derek Shelton coming off of this off day. That's one. You IL Colin Holderman. The other one is, you are set up in this series against San Diego with Bailey Falter going tomorrow. Then you got Nick Gonzalez, and then you got Luis Ortiz. Now, all credit in the world goes to Luis Ortiz for battling his last time out after a historically bad start. I mean, we were talking 4 batters, a little league homer, and 3 homers. He gutted it out. He stayed in there. They got length out of him. But Mitch Keller on Saturday, because of the rain delay, throws 60 pitches in 4 innings. You now have the off day today. You can pitch Mitch Keller on Thursday in a normal turn, and I think they should. I know they want to be careful with all their starters, and they feel like their entire rotation can keep them competitive. But I think Mitch Keller was throwing the ball better on Saturday than he has all year long. And that's saying something because he's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pitching him on Thursday against San Diego, a National League team in the midst of the wild card race that you are so desperately trying to catch. If you don't pitch him on Thursday, you pitch him against Seattle, an AL team, and every game's important, but this San Diego series is more important. I am pitching Mitch Keller on Thursday.
Who'd you say the three guys were that's going to pitch?
Falter, Gonzalez, Ortiz.
I think you said Nick Gonzalez.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's four scrubs
it's
for
four,
me.
Four, yeah.
It's a
640.
Monday. It's a Monday.
Four. Yeah, you said Nick Gonzalez instead of Marco.
Dang.
It's all right. Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you. Yeah. No, being accountable is very important to me.
Yeah.
So Mitch Keller throws 60 pitches, four innings, was absolutely dealing. Because of the off day today, you can go on 4 days rest. His arm shouldn't be tired. He's a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
He was top 10 in the league last year in innings pitched. He can handle it if anybody on the staff can handle it. So have him go out there on Thursday, push Luis Ortiz back, or use Luis Ortiz in a bullpen role, piggybacking him off of Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Have Keller start on Thursday, and you're basically skipping then Luis Ortiz's start, which I think everyone could get on board with because Seattle, while the games are important, aren't as important as San Diego. You need to win this series. At minimum, you got to take 2 out of 3. You have a much better chance with Keller on the mound than Ortiz, I think.
To rewind back a little bit, did it seem like the Diamondbacks, and even in the last series too, the last two series, I mean, they were in the last month. So do you think the Diamondbacks are that much better than the Pirates? Did it seem like that? Like, did it seem like they are more legitimized than the Pittsburgh Pirates, knowing what the Diamondbacks did last year? It just seems like that is a complete team that isn't at the top of the, you know, top of the you know,
standings,
but a team that like looks like, okay, like if they get in, they know how to operate. They know how to get in. They have better pieces that can actually complete games.
If I could crystallize, it's a great point, buddy. If I could crystallize the series down to a sentence, it's that the Pirates aren't ready for primetime. That they are so close.
Yeah.
They battled
their felt like.
Butts off in game one. And then they win game two. And they're right there in game number three. In the first series against the Diamondbacks a week or so ago, game one they lose by a run. They battle back and win the final game. But the Diamondbacks, like you said, go to the World Series last year. They got a manager who's won Manager of the Year, a manager who took them to the World Series last year, a team that knows what it takes when it counts, and you've got a Pirates that are on the front edge of their window really opening.
Yeah.
And they battle, and they play hard, and you can never count the Pirates out. Like, they do come back in games. They're battling Buccos. We saw them do it in the last game of the first series against Arizona. But you can tell that that's a team that's been there before.
Yep.
And you can tell that the Pirates are still learning on how to get over that hump.
Yep.
And I think it's the guys. I think it's the manager. O'Neill Cruz strikes out. Brian De La Cruz flies out. He played on the Marlins. They ain't winning jack. I know they went to the playoffs last year. So, okay. But they weren't winning jack this year. Brian Reynolds is clutch. But O'Neill Cruz, it's against the lefty. I understand that. They don't come through. IKF playing on a bad team. He doesn't come through to lay the bunt down. Colin Holderman doesn't come through. It just feels like a team that's right there. But when you're winning and losing games in the margin, the teams that have been there win those games in the margin. And the team that hasn't been there that's still figuring it out is losing games in the margin.
Mm-hmm.
And not for nothing, the Pirates are 3.5 games back of the Diamondbacks. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head results. And then it goes to division record after that, where the Pirates are close to Arizona, but they needed to win at least 2 out of 3 this weekend. And you can make a reasonable argument that they could have swept this series. And of course, they only wind up with one win. It's very frustrating. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. You got any more thoughts on the Pirates? We'd love to hear them at 412-928-9370. We have Neil Walker at 9 o'clock. We have Dan Zangrilli, who set Derek Shelton on fire in the postgame show. He'll join us at 9:35 today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we turn our attention to Steelers training camp with Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We want you to be around for these segments. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes, Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette going to join us to get into Steelers training camp. A couple of texts here. This one from Dutch Wido in Uniontown. He says, this morning show is so friggin' good. I just love you guys. God bless.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Dutch. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Love your ovens. Big fan. Mm-hmm. Another text. This is TJ from Latrobe. Love listening to you guys. My question is, say the Pirates make the playoffs this year. I know no one is happy with a lot of the moves Shelton has made, but do we dare attempt to make a manager move and risk setting the team back again? Thanks for taking my text, and keep making this show great. Now, if they make the playoffs, he's your manager.
Yeah, for sure.
If they don't, and they're close, I still think he's your manager next year. But Terry Francona's out there, and man, they're so close, like we just talked about. If Terry Francona's their manager this year, they might be a playoff team already.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best in the biz,
mm-hmm.
and he's out there. I don't know if he'd want to come back to managing. If he did, so close to home, makes a ton of sense. That would be my guy. I'm not replacing Shelton just to replace Shelton, but if you got word that Terry Francona would do it, then yeah, I think you're probably doing that if you don't make the playoffs this year. Here's another text, and I think this is also a good one. It's starting to feel like the 11-12 Pirates again, where they get so close but no cigar.
Yes.
You do feel like there's always this ascent. Now, I'll talk out of both sides of my mouth on this, but Texas goes from worst to the World Series last year and they win the thing. And then you got Arizona going from worst to in the World Series last year. But a lot of times you do see a team on the come up, they don't quite achieve it, and you learn from your experience. I mean, you can talk to that being mm-hmm. in the league for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't always happen linearly. Like, you have to learn from your failures sometimes too.
Yeah, but like, you also, those teams don't shoot themselves in the foot. It just, the ball doesn't bounce their way. Now, you look at this team, they've shot themselves in the foot a lot of times that were almost obvious ways to lose games, that there's, you're reverting back and taking too much time to learn from the obvious mistakes that you shouldn't make than to learn from just the ball bouncing a different way, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, those are teams that are close. And that's why I'm conflicted with the Pirates. And I look at a team like Arizona yesterday, in Arizona, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever they played them and lost that series, I'm like, that team is a team that is close and knows it's close and knows how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Pirates want to be, and they are very far away from that. But at the same time, they're close, if that makes sense too.
No, they are close. And you know, maybe we're making too much of the not being ready for primetime thing as I look at this. Holderman is the pitcher of record in their last three losses. He loses this game. He lost the first game to Arizona. He lost the final game of the series against Houston. Now, part of that is Derek Shelton. You have to sense when your boat's taking on water. And by that, I mean, you know that Holderman ain't been Holderman. And so maybe you just don't go to him in all three of those circumstances. And maybe it's just a talent thing. Maybe they're just simply not as talented as Arizona. That could be it too. But they're right there in all these games. They're right there. Arizona scores a bunch of runs, and they've been scoring even more runs lately. And everybody in their lineup, you feel like when they get up there, they've got a chance to do something. But even so, you had a lead in all three games of these series, and you blew it. More on the Pirates. Happy Monday to everyone. Yeah. Is it going to rain today? I don't know that it is, but it feels like it's going to. It feels like it should, because the Pirates had opportunities and they squandered them. How are the Steelers looking? Let's turn the page to them. Do they look Super Bowl bound? Let's talk to Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's been on the ground at training camp the whole time. That's next. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.